Well, I want to share a revelation with you. It's all about the dragon's failure to devour the man-child, which the Lord is showing us in this revelation, which is a good thing. That does not mean that God does not want to use your faith and your prayers to bring this to pass. You definitely need to do warfare. And anyway, what we see in this revelation is a worldwide scenario to fulfill the parable in Revelation 12 of the dragon's failure to devour the man-child. In Revelation 12 and 1 through 6, we're told, "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and didst cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations as a rod of iron." And a matter of fact, Jesus promised this in the beginning of Revelation to those that overcome. "And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne." And the throne of God, by the way, is mentioned twice as the throne of David, because that's the parable God is fulfilling in these end times. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her," that is the man-child, "may nourish her 1,260 days," which is what Jesus did, is also a type of the man-child, right? Well, recently, just a week ago, I think, I had a dream or a vision that I received in the middle of the night. I don't know which. It's kind of in that twilight state, I guess. I was with my children, representing the David man-childs with their spiritual children, when the wind began to pick up. I started looking around to see where it was coming from, and I saw a large tornado headed our way. And this is representing a dragon faction attack against the man-childs and the bride. Then I told everyone to get into my car to be safe. And I believe the car represents the progressive way of rest from our works. Like the David man-childs. You know, in a car, you don't have to pedal it, right? You just rest and it carries you forward progressively. And that's the way it is when you put your faith in Jesus, right? Well, anyway, they all got in the car except for one, who took off running towards the tornado. I ran after him to try to save him, but he wasn't afraid of the tornado because he was in league with the threat, just as Judas was in league with the factious leaders who sought to kill the man-child, Jesus, and his disciples. And all this time we were getting words, warning words, of coming Judas. We prayed against this, casting it down and forbidding it, and were assured of success, but we believe that this was also a picture of the scenario that I'm getting ready to share with you, in which we are assured success in the battle with the dragon. Well, when I say we, it is those who overcome. Nobody's automatically in the man-child, or automatically in the woman, or automatically in the bride who is a part of the woman. But those people will have success over the dragon. So just remember that. I mean, some people start speaking as though they've already arrived there, you know, but maybe not. The Lord will say soon. Anyway, factious leaders come together as the head of the dragon to devour the man-childs before they are caught up to the throne of dominion, as in Revelation 12. And, of course, the devil doesn't want the man-child to reach that dominion. They want to stop him, trip him up, take away any kind of respect for him, anything he can do. He knows what the book of Revelation says, and he's going to do his best to stop that. As I said, twice the throne of David is called God's throne. We're not talking about, as some people say, the man-child will be caught up into heaven and that's the end of it. No, the man-child has a job to do. It's the same job that the man-child all through the scripture had to do, right? You know, like Moses and like Jesus and like David and like Joseph and so on, you know. So, listen carefully to this revelation and, of course, pray for the man-child and cast down the works of the dragon as God shows you. You are a part of this. Your prayers count. Your faith is tremendous. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven, right? He's awesome. So on October the 31st, Deborah Horton wrote, I asked for a word by faith randomly for the day, and my finger came down between three texts because it was a combination of a verse, another verse referenced in the middle column, and the verse that the letter reference was on for that page. Well, amazingly, all three of these texts, as you know, columns don't always line up with a text, or, you know, as far as its references, but amazingly, all these three texts were about factions against David or his house. And all of them failed. They were after the Absalom faction, which also failed, and has been shown by the Lord in dreams to be in our past. It was pointed out certain factions that this we kept getting the Absalom texts, you know. So, these are shown to be in the present and future. That was in the past. These are in the present and future. Okay, the first text Deborah Horton, 1 Kings 2 and 21. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah to wife. Well, Adonijah had put Bathsheba up to asking this of Solomon. And Adonijah had been passed over as an older brother of Solomon to be king. He had a spirit of rejection and was trying to usurp the kingdom from David and by gathering important people around him, creating a faction. So, and this, by the way, was the last attempt of the devil to usurp the kingdom from David before he died. Now, think spiritual death here. It's a good thing. This death represents a good thing. Because there's a resurrection coming for the David man-child, right? And that is the catching up to the throne, as we've seen in dreams and revelations in the Word. So, the plot was discovered, and it failed. And when Adonijah was found out, he was thought to have repented and was spared. But Adonijah, wanting Abishag, David's wife, his last wife, would have been another plus for him to be king, obviously. And from this, Solomon knew he still wanted the kingdom, answering Bathsheba in 1 Kings 2 and 22, the next verse. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother. In other words, he knew he would be in line, you know, with this. Even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. You'll notice that Solomon mentions the other leaders of the faction here also. They all joined with Adonijah. So the king had Adonijah killed. And that was the end of that faction. Very interesting. So the Lord is speaking to us, of course, when he gives you prophetic words, it's about the future, right? Or it could be present and future. And so the second text was 1 Kings 2 and 32. And the Lord returned his blood upon his own head, because he fell upon two men more righteous and better than he. Notice that phrase. He fell upon two men more righteous and better than he. And his here is speaking of Joab, who joined with Adonijah. And my father David knew it not, to wit Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. So Joab, actually in a time of peace, killed these men, which the scripture said were better and more righteous than himself. And of course God wanted vengeance against Joab, and he let him be captured in this faction. And he was, of course, the captain of the host at that time, who had assassinated these righteous men, which were more worthy than himself. Think slander assassination, because that's the kind of assassinations we've been used to here. He had been seduced by Adonijah to usurp David and, in effect, Solomon, so he was killed too. Okay, again, end of that faction. Then the third text that she had her finger on, 2 Chronicles 21, 13 and 14, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the house of Ahab did, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house. That's a faction movement right there, for sure. That's what we've seen. Who were better than thyself. Another phrase, just like the last one. Behold, the Lord will smite a great plague with a great plague, thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy substance. And this was spoken to Jehoram, who had killed all, who had assassinated his own brethren to secure the kingdom for himself. Just like the faction. And then made the people to sin. And whose bowels fell out when he died, just like Judas. Think that's an accident? Boy, I tell you, God, he's got it all covered, you know. Just got to look for them little clues, you know, about who somebody is, you know. And 2 Chronicles 21 and 19, a little further down, says, and it came to pass in process of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, and he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. In other words, the people had no respect for Jehoram. He was an evil person, just like factious people are. In a very real way, Jehoram usurped the people from the good leadership of Jehoshaphat, his father. And that, of course, is David's house. In order to follow his own ego and apostasy, and died in infamy, hated by his own people. You'll notice that the dragon sought to devour the David man-childs, as in Revelation 12, but he failed. The factious leaders who took part in the usurpation all died. And our concern here is for them and those who listen to them, because this faction the Lord is warning us to cast down is connected to the dream Deb received, which I'm going to share with you, because of the bride, the Philadelphia church, would be brought down to the level of the other six churches if this succeeded. Did you understand what I'm saying? If the dragon was able to capture or bring down the man-child, devour the man-child. Now let me point something out. The dragon in Jesus' day, Herod, sought to devour the man-child Jesus, but got a lot of his brethren. In effect, killed them. Spiritually killed them. And I say spiritually because in Isaiah, it's revealed that Rachel's children returned out of the land of the enemy, which represents death. Anytime God's people are living in the land of the enemy, that represents sin and it's death, right? So, even though they won't get the man-child, they'll get contenders for the man-child position. And that has happened. And these people who were deceived by the dragon will return, as Isaiah prophesied. But the ones who did the deceiving, to a large part, will not return. We know some of them. We've had dreams about some of them. The Lord said they're dead. He did show a couple of the wives would return to the Lord, but that the men who led them would not. Very interesting. We have a few revelations like that. Well, so anyway, the factious leaders who took part in the usurpation of this in these revelations all died. And like I said, our concern is for those who were deceived by them, basically. And the Lord's warning us to cast this down. What do I mean by cast it down? Is it going to happen in some fashion? Yes, it is, but it's going to fail. It is in some fashion. Because history repeats, right? But it doesn't have to be detrimental to the man-child or the people following Jesus who is coming in the man-child. I mean, the reason for the man-child, of course, is to raise up the woman in the wilderness into sonship, right? So, in the dream that I'm going to share with you now, if the man-child was taken down, the bride, the Philadelphia church, would be brought down to the level of the other six churches. So, she got this right after that revelation, and we discovered that they were connected. She got it on 11:1, which 111 is the gematria for the birth of the man-child. So, in the dream, I knew that a man had died, and she puts the Lord in parentheses. And his heirs, and she puts the seven churches in parentheses, needed to be located. Sounds neat, doesn't it? The part that I recall is that the man's last will and testament, the Bible, had been found. And, of course, the inheritance of the New Testament needs to be distributed to the seven churches, right? Well, amen. Neat revelation there. Well, in the dream, I was looking at that document, which was very unusual. In the top third or so, there was a row of color photographs of seven women, which she puts in parentheses, the seven churches. I agree. The pictures were from the shoulders up, and each one was separate. So, in Revelations, there is a picture of the seven churches that includes their spots and blemishes, right? Except for one didn't have those spots and blemishes, and that was the Philadelphia church. So, then Deb went on to say the women in the pictures were all older, but about the same age. And I remember wondering how it was possible that the picture showed the women as they were currently, because they must have been way younger when the will was written. Well, my thought is, with age, they haven't grown any better, because history repeats, right? And the old man is still the old man. And as you know, the church has all got some kind of a rebuke, right? Anyway, except for the Philadelphia church. Anyway, she said, I'm 67, and the women all seem to be in that range. Maybe some a little younger and some a little older. Well, David, they all looked about the same. They all had short, as she has not submitted in parentheses, wavy, curly hair, not thinking straight, she has in parentheses, to below the ears, and she has not hearing from the Lord. That looked as if it had been lightly permed, conforming to their own thoughts. And they all were wearing some makeup. So they were all hiding some spots and blemishes, which of course the bride won't have, according to Ephesians, right? She said there was not enough difference to distinguish between the churches. When I wrote to Deb, I said, Revelation on the site shows that we are part of the Philadelphia Church of Brotherly Love. The warning here is that we should have been shown in a better light without the blemishes as the rest of the church. You know, obviously the Philadelphia Church was shown that way, you see. And this is a warning to us that if we don't conquer this faction, we will be just like them. And as such, we would not be an example to the rest of the church. I hope you understand that. God is God's warning so that God's people will pray, so that they will be diligent, so that there will be a difference between the bride and the rest of the church. Remember, Moses, who was a type of the man-child, married one of seven daughters, right? Of rule, which is his excellence, representing the Lord, right? So, all the parables are paralleling, you know. And Deb went on to say there was a paragraph of print underneath the photographs that either I couldn't read or I don't remember. But here's the other really strange part. Just below a short paragraph of text underneath the row of pictures, there was affixed a gold, and she puts gold as a standard, right? A gold seal. And I knew it was a seal. Well, 2 Timothy 2 and 19 says, Howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. You see, there will be some people not found among this number because they were devoured by the beast, by the dragon. To be devoured by the dragon means to become a part of his body. That's what it means. And that's happened to the factious. But God is able to resurrect those dry bones. Verses that we just got just this week, too. She said that this seal wasn't round. It was like a bar. And she puts the Bema judgment seat. A heavy strip, maybe a full 1.5 inches wide, and it ran across the document from side to side, leaving a margin that matched the margin of the writing on the page. And that was the end. And she said, I asked for a word by faith at random for the dream and received Proverbs 27 and 25. The hay, and then she puts in parentheses, once the dead part, the dry hay, is cut and removed, representing the death of the old man, then the new growth underneath is revealed. So then it goes on to say, the hay is carried, and the tender grass showeth itself. Just like Deb said there. And she said, there's the new growth. So God's going to take away the hay. And as you know, like I said, people do get taken out by the dragon and do not represent the woman in this picture or the man-child in this picture. And the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. Praise be to God. Deb said herbs are used as seasoning, flavoring, and represent the salt of the earth, which has retained its savor. Only the herbs of the high places of God are valuable. Well, amen. Luke 14 and 34 says, salt, therefore, is good. But even if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? We're salt. We're a preservative to the people around us. We are a blessing to the earth, right? Deb said, then I asked for a word as I do in the mornings for UBM. Ezekiel 33 and 27. This is kind of like the hay is taken off and the grass is beautiful, right? Thus shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, as I live, surely they that are in the waste places shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured. The field represents the world. So, I mean, people that come to UBM but they're in the world, they're in the waste places. They're not abiding in the kingdom, right? And they that are in the strongholds and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. So the Lord is saying the beast is going to take them out. See, why we teach? We teach so that brethren can receive the word into their heart and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold and have protection against the beast. In the parable of sower, as we said the other day, 3 out of the 4 were taken away. So there is a falling away in these days. And I asked, however, we do believe in a resurrection of the dead dry bones, right? So there's some that will return. Praise God. I asked for you and the brethren specifically in reference to the dream, and I told the Lord that it was important. And here's what he gave us. Isaiah 54:17. Can you imagine? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. So we know that that's what the dragon is doing, is raising up people to speak against the man-child, to try to destroy the witness of the man-child, destroy the materials that the man-child has prepared, destroy anything that the man-child could do in the earth, right? He is desperate to do that. I'll remind you that way back at the beginning of this thing, the Lord gave me a vision of the dragon seeking to come in the back door of a building that was like the ark, sneaking around and with ink letters sneaking around to try to take people out. It was a cartoon type thing. And he was coming in the back way because these people never talk to your face. They always talk behind your back. They rail, they slander, they do what they can to try to destroy the reputation. And this is worldwide, this is happening. And, you know, when in the morning I shared this with Michael Hare, and I shared that the Lord had told me to warn the brethren to cast this down and beware of faction. He asked the Lord, and he got the same thing. Here's the text that he got, Ezekiel 33 and 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He took no warning. His blood shall be on him. Whereas, if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his soul. See, people are not paying attention to some of these warnings. Many people are not, and they're going to get taken away because of it. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, this is the warning that we had to tell you, which is what we're doing. And the people be not warned, and the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Do you understand this? The Lord was telling us and confirming it that he wanted us to warn you about this, because slanderous people have gathered together to do the work of the dragon and to try to devour the man-child. And the way they do that, of course, is slander the man-child to whoever they can slander them to, anybody that will listen. That person would automatically lose any respect for the man-child. That's the spirit behind this. It's a spirit. You're tested, and when you're tested, if you fail, that spirit takes you out. Don't tell me. I've watched it, you know, for some time. I mean, there is. I'm telling you the truth. We know. And after this, Bill called me with a dream. I mean, this is how everything fits together around here, you know. Bill called me with a dream about the man-child and the bride being betrayed by a Judas. What do you think about that? See, Bill don't even, he don't know what we get in our morning prayer meetings. He works, so he didn't make it to the, doesn't make it to these meetings. So, yeah, another confirmation. And Eve received this text, Psalm 78:65-72. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And he smote his adversaries backward. He put them to a perpetual reproach. In other words, they're not going to live down this reproach. Moreover, he refused the tent of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, because in this case, Ephraim had fallen away from the tribe of David, right? But chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. So this is narrowing even the tribe of Judah down to Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights. And of course, you know that Zion is the bride. The Philadelphia church, chosen out of the seven churches. For those who walk in righteousness and purity, they will be chosen. For those who fall into sin in this temptation or trial, they will miss it. So we're warning you. Like the earth, which he hath established forever, he chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that have their young. He brought him to be the shepherd of Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. From following the ewes that have their young, he brought him to be the shepherd of Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So the Lord is raising up a reformer ministry to bring the people into the wilderness and to save them from the beast. Like Esther and Mordecai saved the people of God in the book of Esther. Right? That's where we're headed, folks. And if you have no respect for these ministries, you're going to be left out. And just like in the days of Jesus, when some of the Jews who had the covenant had no respect for Jesus or his disciples. They were in a sect. They were in a division of Judaism. And they did not respect them. And of course, they had the words of eternal life. And anyway, And then Eve also received Deuteronomy 19 and 16. Wow. Listen to this. If an unrighteous witness rise up against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both of the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges that shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and have testified falsely against his brother, which they have, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to do unto his brother. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. And God will put down this faction. He has been destroying it from the beginning. And sadly, the intelligence, the conscience of the people that are in it. And those that remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil in the midst of thee. Well, that would be a blessing, because here we come to the tribulation. We don't. It's like the Lord showed me, you don't want these people with you in the tribulation, do you? I was asking the Lord one time, why was he doing this, you know? And I thought, well, yes, you are getting rid of this particular temptation from among your people, right? And thine eyes shall not pity. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. In other words, God is going to cause these people to reap exactly what they have sown. And Deb also got this word, 2 Chronicles 20 and 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord, and give praise in holy array, as they went out before the army, and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So, they will reap the judgment that they sow, and many more such verses we've received. So, what I receive from this revelation is that we win against the dragon in order to be a highly prized bride of the Lord if we are careful to not let anyone speak ever so subtly against the Lord's word or his ordained leadership to draw away disciples unto themselves. It's an attempt of the dragon to devour the people that would listen to the man-child. This person would have rejection and faction, just as Deb's verses that she first got show. And when you listen to faction, it takes you out. And that demon makes you submitted to and have an affinity for the faction movement, which is crazy because there's no fruit there. Just the opposite. They're destroying themselves and their children. Corruption and judgment is all over them, and so on. And then, of course, you will lose interest in fellowshipping those who are not infected. And so what is happening? The Lord is separating the wheat from the tares. Do these people have to continue to be tares? No. Ultimately, the tares will be the tares. But a person who walks as a tare can repent so that they don't ultimately be a tare, right? And hence the warning that the bride would end up with short, curly hair, meaning no submission to the word or God's leadership. Like the man running away to join the faction tornado in my dream or vision above. So, please do not have any misplaced loyalty to the devil's helpers. Refuse and report anyone that does this, just as in the Word, the brethren did when they informed the Apostle Paul of these things several times. Because Titus 3 and 10 says, a factious man after a first and second admonition refuse. And verse 11, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. The perversion is deep in this demon. I know of them who are thieves. They are all liars. I know of them who are in fornication. And I know of them that are in every kind of corruption you can imagine. Homosexuality. And if you are hiding sin or are unforgiving or judgmental or critical, you're bait for these people. They will take you out. Because God does not want this in the midst of His holy people who are going into the wilderness. And that's what this is all about. If you have any such feelings or tendencies, please call upon us so we can help you. I mean, we love you. We want to do everything we can to save as many as will be saved from this. So please believe us and pray and cast down the works of Satan. Okay? Now, you know, I've been talking with Rob Miller for, I don't know, a couple of weeks here. Concerning the sign seen in heaven. He's been watching it for us, and he's been keeping track of the signs in the heavens. And he has put together what we're titling Sign of the Man, Child, Woman, and Dragon, and it's the Revelation 12 signs in the heavens. And we're in the midst of one of those right now. This sign has come for many years on and off. Sometimes different stars or planets or comets were used in different parts of the picture to display awesome things, you know. They're not all the same. In Revelation 12 and 1, we're told a great sign was seen in heaven, right? And Vine's Expositor Dictionary speaks of this Greek word for sign in this case, quote, of tokens portending future events. Signs are warnings and prophecies of what God is going to do. In this way, they are very useful, but if the sign only happened on the day of one part of the displayed scenario, which part would be used? In other words, which date? Because the dates of the movement of the stars are all included in this sign, and which day would you say it's a sign of? You see what I'm saying? Some people are just looking for one particular thing, and if it don't happen on that day, they're confused. But the sign of the woman is a sequence of events that happens in the stars. So what day? Okay. No, it's a sign of something to come. It always has been so far. Could there come a time when something will line up? Yeah, sure. And the warning or prophecy of something to come would be no good if it only happened on the day of fulfillment, for who would get warned? See, so the theory there is quite wrong, and people judge it if it didn't happen when the sign happens. Okay, but we've had the sign many times. And at this date, part of the prophecy is past, part is happening, and part is still future, because this thing spans a number of years. Okay. And this has nothing to do with the date that it is seen. I mean, we're seeing it in the last couple of weeks, we're seeing this sign fulfilled. Okay. However, one of the dates in the scenario could one day picture reality on the ground. It's a possibility. Whatever God chooses. But He hides those things. And we will see. At the moment, we are in the time when the dragon, who is shown to be Satan in a body of people, is seeking to devour the man-child. It is obvious from the sign that he will fail. And in this particular sign, the man-child passes what we see as the dragon on 11:24:15. But this does not mean it will happen then. We then see that the man-child will soon teach the woman in the wilderness tribulation. So I'm going to share a little of this while I got a few minutes here. Suppose we assume that Mercury is a type of the man-child, as Paul was a type of the man-child to the predominantly Gentile church based on this passage, Acts 14 and 12. And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury because he was the chief speaker. Then we have a beautiful picture of Revelation chapter 12 developing in the heavens since the fall season began in 2015. The first sign we need to see develop is here, Revelation 12, 1 and 2. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. Well, here is a still shot of Stellarium. Of course, I can't show this to you, but we'll have it linked on there so you can look at it. On 10:14:15, picturing the woman, Virgo, arrayed with the sun, S-O-N, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, which are the 9 stars that make up the constellation of Leo, and the 3 wandering stars, or planets, being Venus, Jupiter, and Mars. Mercury, within the constellation of Virgo, is a type of a fulfillment of her being with child. Yes. And the next sign we see to develop is on 10:14. It's found here in Revelation 12:3-4. There was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his head 7 diadems, and his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and didst cast them to the earth. And that's exactly what's been happening. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, and when she is delivered, he may devour her child. Sure enough, there appears in the heavens a sign of the dragon at the feet of the woman, waiting to try and devour her man-child. Saturn is the planet most worshipped as Satan, and has 7 groupings of rings, which appear as diadems or crowns. Saturn is sitting at the head of the constellation of Scorpius, which is also represents Satan, the dragon, and his horde of fallen angels. And as we will see, the man-child passes by unscathed. And, of course, there's a picture there. So, you can't see it, but I'm looking at it. Believe me. The next event in Revelation 12 is the delivering of the man-child. Revelation 12:5, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And on 11:1, which this is the date, 111, is amazingly the gematria for the birth of the man-child, as seen on a page, I'm going to put a link here, has a bunch of verses that are all talking about man-child's birth, Jesus' birth, 111. So, on 11:1, in Stellarium, we find Mercury at the knees of Virgo, having already passed the birth canal, and the star Spica, which means branch. He is the branch, right? Zechariah 3:8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are for a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. And then she has the picture here of the heavens and the stars and so on. Now let's see if we can find a picture in type and shadow in the heavens of Mercury and as her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Revelation 12:5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And in the Revelations, by the way, the one who was caught up to the throne was he that overcometh. It wasn't Jesus. It was Jesus and everybody who overcomes. Jesus is the Word of God, and he and everybody that overcomes. Okay. He said on 11:17-15, we find a very beautiful picture of Mercury coming into the next constellation of the Maseroth, being Libra, in conjunction, Libra, which is the scales, you know, being in conjunction with the Sun, in this case S-O-N, as a type of being the man-child caught up unto God and unto his throne where all judgment takes place. Yeah, the scales represent the test for purity or sonship. And then here's the picture in the heavens. And a week later, on 11:24, Mercury, the man-child, under the power and authority of the Sun, because he's right there with the Sun, overcomes Satan as he heads past Saturn, which is a type of Satan or the dragon, to the wilderness, the Maseroth depicts. And then we got the picture. You know that Saturn appears in the claw of Scorpios, which is the same thing as the dragon. He appears in the claw of Scorpios, but the man-child passes by the dragon unscathed. He passes by the claw unscathed. Praise the Lord. And then now we need to see a sign the woman has fled into the wilderness, Revelation 12 and 6. The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. On 12:21-15, the day before winter begins this year, we find Venus as a type of the true church has completely left the constellation of Virgo, which represents the larger apostate harlot church, and is now in constellation Libra, which is the scales, as a type of the wilderness where, through much trials, will burn off much flesh. Yeah, scales are being weighed in the balances and found wanting. You remember that text concerning Babylon? Well, obviously the bride is being weighed in the balances and is not found wanting. The test has, she has succeeded and passed the test. So let me say this, all need to be walking by faith in whatever stage of growth that they are in, and seeking to have the fruit of Jesus Christ. And of course there was a war in heaven and so on and so forth. That's all part of that. I'm not going to go into that right now. I don't have enough time. But you get my drift, okay? Well, Father, we just thank you so much for this encouragement. Well, we know, Lord, that we win because of your encouragement here, your dreams, your signs in the heavens. We know, Lord, that we win. And whatever we have to go through to bring to pass this test so that those who are accounted worthy will pass on into this next phase of being taught in the wilderness by the man-child. So, Lord, we thank you for these things. We would have often prayed them totally away if we could have, but we see your wisdom in this test, how that you did exactly what you said you would do, and that is separate the wheat from the tares and gather the tares in bundles to burn them. And exactly what you said. And Lord, I pray for those that were deceived by the Herod dragon, contemporaries of the man-child who were killed, that, Lord, you showed us that Rachel's children would once again return. And we pray, Lord, for that, because we knew these people. We loved them before they became demon-possessed. And we just... we're looking forward, Lord, to their return, and we love them. We want them to be a part of the body. We want them to have your fruit once again. We want them to be delivered, and we're just trusting you, Lord, as you've shown us over and over and over, especially like in Isaiah 31 and places like that. Just awesome. Awesome things, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your plan. It's so good. Sometimes we think we know more than we do. And we pray against you, and we don't understand how to cooperate with you. Lord, through these revelations, you're opening our understanding so we learn how to cooperate with you in the process that is the very best for your people. And there's always suffering, Lord, on the way to the cross, and we should all be taking up our cross and following you, Lord. Many are avoiding that, and in so doing, they are actually avoiding their ability to be where they need to be at certain times, because there are deadlines to be in the bride, to be in the man-child, and even to be in the woman. And so, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to convict your people. Send revival, Father. Send revival and convict your people to seek out holiness. 2 Peter chapter 1. To use their faith to grasp your holiness, your righteousness, the attributes of Jesus Christ, so that they may enter into the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father.